Wonder Woman set reveals, Darkseid in Justice League, maybe some leaks in the DCEU, and Batmobile upgrades coming up. The squad is back.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's DC Movie News.
Oh, okay.
What?
Go. Keep together.
Squad!
What? I don't know.
Squad!
When do we... The music never goes this long. I don't know what to do.
It's not starting.
That's
it hasn't started. Sunshine Superman!
What?
Oh, no!
What?
Wow!
That seemed like... That was a cue.
What was that?
I don't know, but I loved it, and I'm totally okay with it.
I have no idea. Are we going to rap again?
You sure?
That I miss rapping?
We'll never be able to rap as good as we did that one time.
You don't stop.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Mm-mm.
No, we're not going to do that.
Sorry, I didn't mean to. That's a bad improviser.
Welcome, everybody, to DC.
You know but.
Yes, and.
You just know and me. You know and me.
I said no and leave.
Are we throwing coasters?
Yes, we are. All right, everybody, this is the DC Movie News Show. We're already off to a great start. We are at DC Movies SK on Twitter and Facebook.com/DC Movies SK. I'm Johnny LaQuasto. Find me on the Twitter and the Instagram at JQuasto. That man right there is the host of Man vs. Child on FYI and FX Movie Download on FX, and he's the worst mocker of Doghouse Restaurants, wearing a great t-shirt as always.
Yes.
Find him on Twitter at Adam Gertler. He's Adam Gertler.
Hey, everybody. I'm excited to talk. I had a friend's birthday party last night, and
A little dog in the hair today.
Yeah.
It
was fun. It was spontaneous. It was not something that I was planning. Like, I thought I was going to a meeting in the middle of the day, and then it was like, oh, it's this dude's birthday, and I'm like, And then, like, it was just on from the rest of the
20 drinks
thing.
Later, you're like, well,
oh,
time for some bad decisions.
Went to Jumbo's Clown Room.
Jumbo's
Clown Room.
Very close to me, and I didn't get a phone call.
Great spot.
Really Jumbo's close. Clown Room?
It's kind of a strip club.
It's not just kind of.
Oh, is it for sherseys?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, but it's a full bar, and it's very classy, and it's a bikini bar, and there's, like, equal women and men there. Am I wrong?
Well, if you have full bar, you have to be able to cover the nips and the vag at all times.
What do the dudes have to do?
They are...
Yes.
I got what they are. I know what they... But that's the...
Full bar means you have to cover up.
Gotcha. I didn't know the
great music. It's a great
bars.
Oh,
okay.
It's great. Anyway,
then you started getting those up texts, and your night was made.
Yes, exactly. But listen, I'm excited to be here today because somebody on Twitter just sent us like a link for like some rumors.
That dropped.
Yeah.
You got that on there earlier.
Damn.
Yeah, we'll definitely get to that. But first things first, got to get to the crown jewel of the DC Movie News Show and the host of TV Fights on Screen Junkies, wearing her Isaiah Thomas, not the old one, the new one, of the Boston Celtics t-shirt. Find her on Twitter at Roxy Stryer. She is the Roxy Stryer.
Go C's, yeah! Big week for us! Love them Celtics!
The Boston thing with you, that's right.
That's
what?
Right.
Let me just hold the Boston thing with you.
Like, that, the fact that I'm from there?
Yeah, it's part of your whole thing. Weren't you part of the Super Bowl? They're the team for you
this
year?
It's part of my thing.
Patriots,
that's
yeah,
who
it's,
you are, right?
It's not a bad time to be a Boston sports fan.
Yeah, it never is.
I thought that's what it was. Yeah.
I don't know what Adam's showing her on the cell phone.
Oh, I was just looking for the name of the person that sent us
Bozo's
that
Clown Room.
Bozo's Clown Room. That's where it was.
Night.
Yeah, old Bozo's.
Damn, Adam.
Is that what it's called? Bozo's Clown Room?
Can't believe you did that.
We have a return on the show, ladies and gentlemen, and then we're going to get to our top story, which will include this man. He is a very talented actor. He's a DC encyclopedia. And he is now a recurring character on the CW's Jane the Virgin. Find him on Twitter at Mike Kalinowski. You may know him as... What's the character?
Mikey name? Christmas.
There you go.
Oh, no, that's not my character on the show. That's Trip.
Trip! He's Mike Kalinowski! Oh, son of a bee!
I feel odd being right here. I gotta.
Why? Because you're not being pampered.
No. I gotta get back into it. I feel like I don't know. It feels weird.
People
I haven't been
really
here so
missed
long.
You.
I haven't been here so long. I miss being here. Weeks of great news.
Yeah.
Weeks of great news, and it was killing me.
Well,
to
this
not
week's
be a part.
Included in
this
weeks of good news.
Does it feel weird to be on like this paltry set compared
Never.
To a lush CW
not at all.
Well catered experience?
Not at all.
What is the set experience like? Is it posh? Is
and
it
first,
pretty?
Let's get that photo of Mike. Mikey Christmas up there so people can see it and watch him on Jane the Virgin. So I continue,
oh,
sir.
Jesus
the floor
God.
Is yours.
Jesus.
Oh, that's his announcement card.
Oh, Christ.
Yeah. That's his like announcement
We've
to
been
the
showing
industry.
This has been our top story every single week since you've been gone. Just so
Why
you know.
Are you upset with us?
I'm not upset with you at all. I hate that. I hate headshots. I hate pictures.
But I
thank you guys. You guys are so wonderful. And the people and the fans reaching out to me. Please, I don't ever belittle that at all. I am so thankful for the opportunity and for all of you guys and the support. It enhances everything that it's going on right now. So thank you for that. I just miss being here.
I just want to know how was the food on the set, and do people on CW sets eat the food?
Oh yeah. Oh god, yeah.
Okay. Now everybody isn't always like just working out and spray tanning all the time.
No, not those. It's a lot of the Latin on the cast. There's a lot of Latin, so they love the food. Good food,
and they don't need to tan.
No, they look great. That's a great looking cast. It is everyone from the cast to the crew.
To Mikey
customers,
Christmas.
They're beautiful people.
The poor
on that
makeup
set
staff is just bronzing up Mikey the whole
even
time.
The makeup ladies, makeup artists, everyone. They're the gorgeous people and nice. They're,
that's funny.
CW's got that vibe.
They have been everyone. I always feel bad when you go to a set like to meet them how they are. The entire cast is phenomenal.
Yeah.
So if you're a fan of that show, if you watch that show, just know the people that they are. They are good people.
Have you been hearing from the DC movie news fans that watch you? Have they been like
people have been
you?
Checking in, and it's weird. Like people that kind of like, hey, I don't want to admit I watch that show, but I watch it, and
why don't they want to admit?
I don't know. Maybe if it's not in their wheelhouse or something like that.
It's fine. I was just talking before the show started, before we were waiting for Johnny. I was just talking about how much I loved our fans in the chat room and how great they were and how great they support you and all that.
Mikey, I remember you saying that exactly.
Yep.
I mean, this is things that we talk about before the show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But now we talk about DC movie news.
Well, let's get into it. There were two times I wanted to shoot videos from the set talking about what had went down, but they frowned on having the phones out.
Fair enough.
I wanted to tell them I was talking DC stuff. They think I was...
Do we frown about having phones out? I almost wanted to just take a selfie of all of us. I wanted to tweet it out.
Mid-show?
Yeah, mid-show.
I mean, if you want to do it.
Well, let's get into this. I'm chomping
at the
bit.
We'll start talking. You get the phone out. We'll make it all happen. It'll be fluid. It'll work.
My arms are too short. Adam knows.
Oh, you give me your phone.
Yeah, the great
just
picture
get into
for the
DC.
Gym.
All right. What's the top story? Do we want to talk leaks? Do we want to talk Wonder Woman set? I mean, there isn't any direct top story this week.
I think Wonder Woman set. I think the set. Because
that's concrete. That really happened.
Yes.
For sure. And we are a news show. We are the hard hitting news only.
Do those news
so,
and then we talk rumors.
Collider went to see the set of Wonder Woman because Collider manages to do everything.
I think a big press was there. I think it was like those big press corps. I think they were the ones that had a great article and write up on it.
Yeah.
Right. But I think it was like what they did for Justice League a few months back.
I concur.
Thank you, Roxy. Mm-hmm. There was a kind of a set visit.
Yes.
Kind of this wasn't a like the Justice League one, remember it felt like this is a putting people's fears at ease to give them a little bit of our tone. Wonder Woman, this is more of, because they do these for almost for every film, I think they do set visits. Mm-hmm. But they do the whole embargo, you can't talk about it for months.
But usually when we do a set visit, we hear either, oh, it was good, it was good. Or we hear mixed reviews, this was so much better than that. Mm-hmm.
Who is it?
Yeah,
who
baby.
Is the guy? It's not. He's not with Collider. Is it with Slash Film, Sarita? His last, I'm blanking, Paul something his name. He's a pretty well-voken, vocal.
Do you know who he's talking about?
Paul Sarita. I'll look him up on Twitter. He was the one that had even said, hey, even though this is just, we only saw a couple, four scenes, but this is the very good step for DC. Mm-hmm. It was Paul Sarita. I'll look him up, guys, if you guys in the chat know. He's from Slash Film, I believe. And he's a guy that is usually pretty fair and balanced, but he's spoken out about the problems with DC. But he was a guy that kind of came around, going the four scenes we saw. If this is indicative of the whole film, this is going to be a plus for DC. This is going to be what they need.
And they're talking about an action scene that they actually saw, and they said, "Look, we've all seen the superhero films. We've always wanted them to succeed, but we're also skeptical. After seeing this scene, we're absolutely giddy." They're thrilled.
That was that.
They loved it.
That was the no man's land. Her going into no man's land.
The description of the one action sequence, which is the part that we've seen a bunch of in the trailers that we've seen so far, when she deflects that mortar. But what gave it great context and characterization about the character was that she shows up, right? She doesn't know why they're avoiding a fight, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's a fight obviously happening, and I guess Wonder Woman's like, hey, there's a fight, like a typical Amazonian, like, why aren't we going into it?
Right.
Then she's shocked to see that there are people that are actually been enslaved by the Germans, right? And so there's slaves acting against their will, and then that sets her off. And then she goes into the fight, and then apparently, once Chris Pine and these other soldiers see that she's drawing the fire, they follow her into battle.
I think...
Braveheart style.
That's... I mean, and that's not even, and that's not even, that's not even going to be like, that's going to be early on in the film,
yeah, that's
too.
Not even the whole
I
plot.
Think just the fact of when she's, we've seen a lot of it, too, but the build-up with the music, I think that is going to be a seminal moment.
I think her
because
music
it's
is
a
my...
woman, you know, the first action female superhero film, just everything. That's going to be the moment where she finally unveils with the cloak and the costumes there.
Speaking of music, I think her music has been my favorite of
I hope they keep
entire
it.
Past
I
year.
Hope they keep that theme with her.
Well, I think they to. Will. I think,
yeah, I think so, too, because of what positive reception it's had. Why would they change it?
Peter Chiaretta is his name with Slash Film. I think he's the owner editor of it. So he was the one that I would kind of really read his take on this whole thing. And he again said, you know, he's like, if the whole film is like these four scenes, they're in very good hands.
Did they mention like what other scenes that there were?
They did a there was the four of them. There was the one with Peter, the scene, I think it's in the alleyway where he's deflecting the bullets.
Yeah.
That scene, the No Man's Land, the capturing of Steve Trevor. Mm. And him unveiling with the lasso, like, this is what's going to happen, this is what's happening. And I think there's a scene early on of I read the whole thing, was they go into a whole how the Amazons are built for battle, and they say the I think it's the Germans landing on the shore against them, you see how the Amazons fight as a team. And I don't know if this is kind of back to like how 300, how those, the tactics they use.
Right.
But you see they have a very distinct way that the Amazons fight.
Mm-hmm.
And how it's part of a unity and they work as one.
All of that talks a little bit about the tone, which Collider also had a conversation with Patty Jenkins about. Did you guys read this part of it? It was interesting, too.
Sure.
It was a week before they actually did the set visit. So prior to that, they talked to her. She said, all I can say is from my point of view, there is no mandate on tone that I experience. So I think every filmmaker is making their own movie in the tone that they see right for that movie. So I have no pressure on me to not do the same. So I came in saying Superman 1, it's origins, and it's an origin story.
The Donner Superman.
Mm-hmm, yeah. And casting Chris, who I knew and was so funny and all these things. And they were seeing it shape up and it shaped up and and supporting it. And I think it will also be true of Aquaman and Flash, all of those movies.
And
I don't think there is one tone.
And to piggyback off of that, she was talked to Screen Rant this past week about continuing Wonder Woman. And I just watched Supergirl on my
she
way
is
here.
A Superwoman.
Though. I was literally watching Supergirl on my
not,
way here.
Not
my
wrong
phone.
There, Johnny.
Well, kind of.
About continuing, way wrong. Continuing Wonder Woman, she said, there are many, many things I can't wait to do with her. She's got a lot of shades that I really, really like. I think whatever we get to do in the future, the great thing is this is the way to start. So she is.
Let me ask you guys, going forward.
About sequels.
Because now we've had, you know, Snyder's done three. How do you guys feel, and not just with DC, with films in general, with the same director continuing with a sequel? Do you like seeing a new director brought in, or do you like the same one?
I think it has to do with the second part of what she was talking about. She says, I think maybe Chris Nolan had a serious tone, so you know what Nolan's universe looks like, and I like seeing something like that. But I do also think it's cool to see different people's take on things. If it's one universe, one cohesive vision can be really nice. But if you get past three films with the same director, it can also get a little stale.
I look at the Thor films, who now this new one, and and it looks like an 80s video game, but I think that's kind of what they're going for, so I'm kind of like,
I'm kind of cool with it in a weird way.
So with this, I'm kind of like, I don't know, like Patty Jenkins, I have not heard her say one thing that I'm like, nah, that doesn't seem right to me.
She speaks positively about anybody who has been, anybody who is, and anybody who will be in the DC.
So I'm just kind of like, I want this woman to stay on.
Yeah.
I want her to keep doing
it. I think it really
more.
Depends. I think sometimes it works really well. Like, clearly, nobody thought, oh, Guardians of the Galaxy 2, let's get some new blood in there.
Right. Because he was the shepherd of what they
did. Totally.
If the movie does amazing, there's no reason to bring someone else.
But then you also have Joss Whedon, who was hamstrung, and it sounded like he had a miserable experience.
Yeah.
And that was kind of an underwhelming movie.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah.
But, you know, the Thor movies, I thought the first one worked really well. Most people don't like the second one. That also, wasn't Patty Jenkins supposed to direct that second Thor movie?
I think that went through a couple directors.
Right, and then Alan Taylor did it. So this one, it seems like I'm very confident in how this new Thor movie looks. And if they are happy, we'll get into those rumors too.
But
now the rumors, take it for what you will, are that Warner Brothers is very happy with the movie.
Right.
And just the way that we've heard Patty Jenkins talk about welcoming other directors makes it feel like she's in.
And she's part of a universe.
Yes. Yeah. She's not going anywhere.
In the same way that you might like the same tone, it's not like you would want Christopher Nolan to direct all DC movies forward, just because you like his films, you want to get new people in there.
But they got, like, the first Captain America movie was directed by...
Joe Johnston.
Right.
Joe Johnston.
And Joe Johnston, and they wanted that kind of feel. And but it was also a period very different piece. Period piece. They wanted that, like, Rocketeer vibe and all mm-hmm. that kind of thing.
Yes.
So I think it really depends...
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm very give or take on directors, but when a director sticks, like this Patty Jenkins, I don't believe I've ever seen anything else she's directed, but I'm so already on board with her. Like, mm-hmm. and it's
You've
just
never from, seen Monster?
The Charlize Theron? It's been 10, 12 years, so... But I mean, Roxy, yes, is a director, but she's grown as a director in 10, 12 years, so to
Absolutely,
see her work...
but that's the best part of it, that she started there. I mean, she didn't even start there, but that's the thing she's most well-known for, and that and her TV work she's done, too. She is so unbelievable at directing females and getting biggest thing.
I'm just saying to...
You gotta rewatch.
But I'm just saying to
that movie
makes
me too uncomfortable.
This.
I don't want to
watch it. Yeah, it's uncomfortable.
It's so good.
But to see, you know... that I don't know much about this woman. I'm so, like, excited for what she's bringing.
Yeah.
Have we ever read the official synopsis of Wonder Woman on this show? Because we have it right in front of us.
Do you have a new voice you're trying to test out?
I'm thinking about if we, Steven, if we happen to have any trailer music, we might be able to toss it up there and see what happens. Otherwise,
okay, but you have to do it in your best Wonder Woman voice.
No, he doesn't have to do it as Wonder Woman. Since when does Batman read his own Batman trailer?
Yeah.
Never.
This summer.
Like your Lego Batman.
Damn it. All right, Roxy.
Good point.
National
I wasn't
Women's
even
Day.
Trying to do it because, realistically, I just wanted to hear his Wonder Woman voice.
Because we did Swordfish for Action Movie Anatomy yesterday, I'm going to make you do it to the Swordfish soundtrack. Which
All
is
right.
That's cool.
Terrible.
Wait, are we talking
techno.
Swordfish with Holly Berry
like
and
Hugh Jackman?
Jesus.
Wonder Woman hits movie theaters around the world this summer when Gal Gadot returns as a title character in the epic action adventure from director Patty Jenkins. I tried my best, goddammit. Before she was Wonder Woman, she was Diana, princess of the Amazons, trained to be an unconquerable warrior, raised on a sheltered island paradise when an American pilot crashes on their shores and tells of a massive conflict raging in the outside world. Diana leaves her home, convinced she can stop the threat. Fighting alongside man in a war to end all wars, Diana will discover her full powers and her true destiny.
Wow!
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
I feel like I'm on drugs.
There's a German club.
Okay,
the club.
Can we officially get Stephen Lemieux in the booth every single week? This is amazing.
I know.
Holy acid flashback, Batman.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes.
I like Mike's. I'm watching the play. Look at Mike's face while I'm reading the. Like, so kind of perplexed.
Oh, I can't tell whether he's thinking about what you're saying or just staring at the
he's
words.
He's not moving. He's like that Draymond Green post.
Oh, I thought it was frozen there. That was me actually.
You're not moving.
Did we discuss Ares at all?
I think we were talking about that because I'm confused now.
Patty Jenkins talks
first of all,
that.
Did we talk? Was it the set visit they say where the Amazons were trained to fight the gods when Ares... and all that with the God Killer sword and all that.
Ooh, no, I didn't.
There's a story. God, I don't know where. It's got to be one of these set visits. They talk about the history of the Amazons and why they're a race of fighters.
Uh-huh.
Because they're ready for the day when Ares comes back, and that's why they have the God Killer sword. And it was all with Zeus and all the gods. But I don't know. I had heard for a while it was David Thewlis.
Yes.
Was Ares?
Is that how you pronounce his name?
I think.
Thewlis.
Mm-hmm. But now Danny Huston is kind of like. They think
is that
it
how
is.
You pronounce his name?
That's Huston. Mm-hmm. Danny Huston.
Not Houston?
No, it's Huston.
Okay, I believe you. I'm really asking.
Huston, we have a problem. We don't know how to say your name.
That's how it's spelled, Huston.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
I love that we're getting our groove back today. Houston. You guys are watching it right on air.
That's happening live.
DC
well, like,
gets
you know,
its groove.
Planet
I'm
Houston.
Start,
right?
I'm going to start raging probably, so you're going to get that back again.
What movie is this from? Planet Houston.
Superman 2. Come on.
I'm just checking because we might do some trivia
together.
That's
right.
Eventually.
Oh, God. We're going to kill him.
And the second you said it, I went,
It's all right, Ross.
Now, y'all, here's something I am really excited to talk about.
What's that?
Our friend of the show, Humberto Gonzalez, took the Periscope this past week after people were asking about Darkseid possibly appearing in Justice League. Now, he's always been fairly accurate in the past about things.
Has he?
Did
you see the...
I'm going to go 50-50.
Did you see the thing between him and Mangold past couple days on Twitter?
No.
He got into it with Mangold? Friend of my show, James Mangold?
Because director James Mangold of the Wolverine, because he did the whole thing about the Deadpool filming a scene for Logan and it didn't, and Mangold kind of came out and goes, it's people like him that are killing movies because they're trying to get stuff, and it was this Twitter, like, war. Oh, man. And then he made a comment about, Mangold just said about, hey, I'm trying to get rid of the cockroaches. And then Umberto goes, oh, that's kind of racist, being, watch your tone. And then it just, but it wasn't, and he did not mean it that way, but then Twitter just, it, like...
He pulled the
You saw it happening, and you're just like, oh! Yeah, I mean, I was like that GIF with the guy eating popcorn. I'm just like, oh, God!
Look, I've said it from the beginning, and when he was on our show, I even said, I'm like, look, I walked out of the room. I said, I'm not a spoilers guy, so if you're going to talk about spoilers, I left the room.
Spoiler thing with you, I left the room.
But he was right about the Deadpool thing, though, right?
It was sort semantics. Of. He had said they filmed a scene for the movie, and it wasn't. And then... He, I guess, kind of recanted to say it was a post-credit scene, and it wasn't. It was a separate short film attached to the film. So
We're getting a lot of comments about Umberto in the chat right now. X-Shiny, X-Diver, X says, Umberto just tosses shit at the wall to see what sticks. I don't think that's necessarily true. I think there's a lot more truth behind what he says. Scion says he's only spot on with DC rumors and not with Marvel. If he is
take
more
it for what
on,
you will.
Yeah, funny. Exactly.
Well, I admire what the guy has brought himself up from to where he is with his job now, but I'm not a spoiler guy.
He says, and I quote, his sources indicate that Darkseid, you feel his presence, he said, doesn't really speak in the movie, but you see him and you feel his presence, but you don't hear him talk.
But I mean, kind of, aren't we... Again, I feel
but
like
he
I'm
also
wrong.
Says
didn't
he's spitballing.
This,
he kind of also says, he's like, this is not for the page.
Oh, inside baseball. He says, speculation.
Right.
This is what
so
I'm doing.
He's almost saying that, like, he's just speculating.
But didn't we feel that it's Steppenwolf in the Parademons. It's not Darkseid. Darkseid will be like, kind of like the shadowy figure that's ominous in this.
You know when you hear news and you're like, haven't I heard that already somewhere? Yeah. Didn't we? But then you don't know because we've talked about Darkseid so many times.
I would think you have to feel, because we already know Justice League 2 is coming up. You're going to have to assume there's going to be some kind of presence of Darkseid.
You know, I have to say this because maybe this will...
Justice League 2 is not on the slate currently.
Maybe this will... Fuse everything. My friends called me out on this because with DC films, and I tend to give them a lot of leeway. And I don't know if just because I'm so used to the comic books with, you always know the dark side's there. I don't know if because I grew up on comics, so when I'm in this film universe, I find a hard time distancing myself from all the audience knows is what's been shown.
Right.
But in my head, I'm like, well, Darkseid's in the universe, so he's around, so his presence is felt.
But nobody knows about
but
his
nobody
existence.
Knows that, so I need to give a lot more leeway in
so,
my stuff.
I'm curious, chat roll, what do you guys think, watching the show right now, do you think that you're going to see that classic Darkseid with his, like, hands clasped behind his back kind of situation?
Oh, the where he's just watching.
Right.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah,
as good, much good, as I would love to see that, it does feel like the Thanos drop.
And we keep getting those breadcrumbs, and it's like, Jesus, give us Thanos
already. Right, and so even the introduction, and that's why he's like, the introduction is so Thanos-like. And then, if we're not talking about another Justice League movie
which
until
we don't
earliest
have a slate?
2021, probably?
Earliest.
Because we'll talk about another rumor about next possible Man of Steel movie.
Yep.
So, I mean, I would love to see that, and I think Steppenwolf should be able to be the big bad and, like, coalesce the team together.
I think it's a great movie.
And I do want to see the Lantern Corps at the end and all that stuff, and they've got to defeat him, so I... Yeah, I mean, it is kind of, but I do kind of hope that's the way they go with it. And I think they will.
I think they need to hold up on Darkseid. I mean, he's the big bad. He's, where do you go after? I mean, there are several others.
Because you need the full power of the Green Lantern Corps involved. You need all other like, it's kind of like, I hate to say it parallels Infinity War, but that's sort of what a Darkseid war should be.
Yeah, I mean.
It does.
Those characters are, it's DC and Marvel. Those characters go hand in hand. They have very similar that they share, and it's Darkseid and Thanos are the two, you know, big bads that bring everyone together.
Now, next.
What's up, champ?
These are the supposed leaks.
So this dropped today.
Yes.
And this wasn't a Reddit thread, was it? It was just kind of, it came out.
This is on ScreenGeek.net.
So,
You're talking about the individual things that were said that were kind of confirmed
were
on Reddit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Because something like this dropped a little while ago, too. Remember that?
Yeah. Yeah. This is still rumors, though.
Right.
It's saying that it's been, that people, when they think that their own rumors have been confirmed, but this was a subreddit that revealed the following things.
Okay, let's shoot.
Sidebar. They said the budget for Wonder Woman was $125 million. What was BVS? Two something?
$250.
Wow, so Wonder Woman's half the price.
That's the first thing. Yeah. The budget for Wonder Woman is $125 million. The studio's very pleased with how the film turned out, and early discussions for a potential sequel have been discussed.
Okay.
That's the first one.
Right.
And I think that's pretty... That
accurate?
Sounds, yeah. Yeah. Right?
Okay.
You have no... I mean, you've got Chris Pine in there. He's your major star, so you've got no giant drains on the budget for cast-wise. And 125 in effects film, effects heavy, so that sounds
remember
good.
When we talked about, I think it was almost a year ago, how this was one of the first big female films to be over 100. So 125 is right in that ballpark.
I was thinking, it's amazing to me to see how many female-led movies we're now getting. Because for a while, they tried with the Tomb Raiders to get it going, and it just was stalling out. But now
Are you watching Feud? Because it makes me think about this all
now. I auditioned for several roles on Feud, and I'm I wanted to get on that show so bad.
It is so good, and you deserve to be on that show, but it does make you think about, like, how far we have come in terms of female roles.
I know, between...
Scarlett
Johansson with Lucy, I think that kind of was a good push out there, but now... I think it's fantastic.
I think it's great, and I think that Ghost in the Shell coming out this month too, which I think looks dynamite. I hope it really delivers.
It's a March release, so I think that's a great place for it.
Do you think this March will go down as the biggest grossing March in the history?
It's huge.
Every single weekend, there's five weekends. You have Logan, you have you have Beauty and the Beast, you have Power Rangers, and you have Ghost in the Shell.
I'm so excited for Power Rangers.
So if Power Rangers performs adequately and Ghost in the Shell performs adequately, even if they kind of just are medium, I feel like this is going to be the craziest March ever.
I don't know if Ghost in the Shell
ever.
Is going to perform as well.
I don't either.
That's iffy.
Yeah. But the thing is, too... And the problem is, and we run into that, and that's why we always talk about fighting release dates to get a date. I mean, Logan's only got 1 week now, and Kong is already predicted to get over 100 million.
Yeah.
So it's like...
Is that what it's tracking at now?
100 million.
Because
Kong.
It was a couple weeks ago as low as 45.
No, it's
domestic.
It's going 100 million now.
You're talking domestic?
And it's like, yeah, and then you only get... And then after that, Beauty and the Beast is coming out.
When's Kong coming out?
Tonight.
Trailer.
And then Beauty and the Beast is next week. So it's like these films don't get a lot of legs, and it sucks. You know,
And then Beauty and the Beast, and sorry guys, I know this is not DC, but it is movie news. Beauty and the Beast is going to be a great counter program to these both like male driven.
Oh, sure.
But I think a lot of people, young and old, are interested in seeing Kong now.
There's a big uptake in
there's a nostalgia factor with like your older crowd.
You got a great cast in there.
Yeah. And then like the younger crowd just looks like a badass monster movie. And then Beauty and the Beast, I think, is
going
to do like 150.
Let's keep
million.
It going, guys.
Staying with the Reddit trend for a second. Next one, the Justice League trailer will debut in April and will be attached to Fate of the Furious. The plan is also to release a scene from Justice League in front of King Arthur, similar to how Dark Knight Trilogy marketed their films.
Now, this is puzzling to me. I do like the idea of a trailer, but why Fate of the Furious and why not Wonder Woman? Wait, Fate of the Furious is May.
April 14th.
Oh, shit.
That's why.
So then they could probably do another one. With
Wonder Woman. So we're going to get the Justice League scene in front of Fate of the Furious?
These are still Arthur. This is still
Arthur.
Rumors.
So we're not getting anything with Kong, are we?
No.
No. So you're saying trailer is going to be probably Fate of the Furious?
That's what they're saying, that it will debut in April, attached with
Fate of
the Furious.
Which makes sense.
Last week we were hopeful that we would have got it by this week if it was going to be for Kong, but I guess it's just a little...
It makes sense because we're not getting it now for Kong, which is a Warner Brothers film. Wonder Woman would be too far into the summer. It needs a big movie.
We're talking Justice League trailer,
right? Justice League trailer.
So when are we getting the next Wonder Woman trailer?
I don't think we're going to get another one.
I thought they just rated a Wonder Woman trailer.
Yes.
Remember?
We thought it was going to drop today.
Today, yeah, I know.
That's what we're waiting on. It's
going to
drop in about an hour. Watch.
You think so?
Yeah.
Right after we go off the air.
Chat, if it drops while we are live, interrupt us.
I think.
Somebody.
Please.
Because Kong is out. That's why I said.
7 p.m. East Coast. The first showings are not for
the
like
rated,
3 hours.
The board MPAA rated a trailer for Wonder Woman. So there is one coming. So maybe maybe Beauty and the Beast?
Thank you, Mladen Kulik, by the way, for sending this link out before the show.
Nope.
Mladen Kulik, I hope I'm pronouncing your name right. He also... Sorry. Sidebar. Also said something about a rated R Wonder Woman animated movie.
That was debunked.
We'll talk a little bit about that.
I think it's in our list, but it got debunked, and I'll tell you why.
Okay, but keeping with this,
more of the Reddit rumors.
Please, Roxy.
Dr. Stephen Shin will appear in Aquaman. The studio is currently searching for actors for the role.
This is a character that I should know about, and I don't.
I don't know Dr. Stephen Shin. Do you know Adam?
He is the guy...
I don't know Dr. Stephen Shin.
I think he is in the Throne of Atlantis storyline, where he was the character that was... He's a marine biologist.
Here we go. Well, a quote from Aquaman, "Mr. Shin taught me how to use my powers, and then he tried to kill me." So he's a former friend to a young... Well, former friend to a young Arthur Curry became a foe, helped him develop his powers, but later he turned on Aquaman and tried to kill him because he wouldn't reveal the location of Atlantis to him.
I think he's in a new edition in the recent It was back with the New 52 with the Throne of Atlantis storyline. I think he was in that.
Okay. Moving on. Brainiac will be the main villain for Man of Steel 2.
Yes.
I concur, Steven.
The story was written by Jeff Johns and Zack Snyder. The plan is to place the film on November 1st, 2019 release date.
The first time I've been super excited for anything Superman related.
Because really? You love Brainiac?
I think Brainiac's like the best villain.
He's
like,
the most underrated.
Yeah, I love him.
Yes, I agree.
It's great because
Brainiac is so good.
Brain and Superman's a brawn. It's great and he's everywhere.
Wasn't Brainiac supposed to be the big villain in Death of Superman Lives?
Yes. He was, Lex Luthor was kind of like the brains of him using, and they kind of melded together.
Really?
Yeah, Brainiac in his ship. He was more of kind of a floating.
Do you think that's why we haven't touched him for this song?
I think
because of Voltron, they wanted to avoid something similar to AI. But they did Voltron so poorly that Brainiac, if they make it really dark,
Voltron?
It could be amazing.
Yeah, everyone's already forgot about Voltron.
What do you mean Voltron?
Oh, Ultron, sorry.
Ultron! Sorry. Oh, I'm like, Voltron is fine. The DreamWorks series on Netflix is great.
Good call.
Slip of the tongue, guys. Sorry.
No, you're right. Ultron is very
similar. It
would have
been weird if you had Brainiac come out the same year as Age of Ultron.
And Superman-Voltron crossover would be kind of awesome.
Kind of
like, blazing sword.
I think that, to me, because argue what you will about the DCU 3 films, Man of Steel, from start to finish, is a phenomenal film. Like,
My issues with Man of Steel are that there are times when I get video game, bleary-eyed.
Okay.
Yeah, toward the end,
okay.
It goes on and on, and it's like, I just lose sight of like what's happening and what's important. I feel like it could be tightened up. I love the movie, but I feel like it could use tightening. This is the most exciting rumor of this whole thing. A Man of Steel sequel, story by Jeff Johns, and Zack Snyder coming back.
Yes.
You know, like this could be the next one Zack Snyder directs after Justice League.
And realistically, that November 1st date, 2019.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
And then there's...
I like that. I love that we bring Brainiac because I am so sick of... What do we got? 6 Superman movies, and everyone's Lex Luthor, pretty much. It's just like enough.
Yeah, this could be awesome.
It could be.
Chat roll. What do you think about these rumors? Are these exciting? Do you think that they're true? Because now, did we mention the fact that the source for these was also the source for a lot of leaks last year? Many of which
so,
did turn out
like
to be true.
Like the Joe Manganiello one, that was a leak that was listed on Reddit that he'd been cast as Deathstroke. That was listed on Reddit way before, and it ended up being true. So people are thinking there's more truth to some of these. Doug Liman is attached to direct Justice League Dark. The film is not considered a priority right now, though. That was part of the leaks. I could see that being true.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like it's a priority right now. Gotham City Sirens is being targeted for February 2019. I know we were trying to push it into the 2018 slot, but we just couldn't do it because it couldn't go at the end. It was too close to that October date, and we couldn't finish it in time for March, was what our brains had thought last week.
What, the Gotham City Sirens?
Yeah, so 2019 makes more sense.
Which makes sense because it would be right after Aquaman.
Right.
So Aquaman comes at the end of October. Or in October, and then beginning of the year, Gotham City Sirens. That makes more sense. So it's weird. 2018 is going to be pretty much
a light
one movie, Aquaman.
Yeah,
that to me is so crazy. I mean,
especially
I get it.
If Wonder Woman, Justice League do gangbusters.
But remember our 2014 year that we had zero.
Right.
Zero live-action DC film.
That's okay, because...
But I'm just saying, so one... Beggars can't be choosers. Everybody at home.
Well, I mean...
Respect the creative process.
Exactly, Roxy. I agree with you. It's only because, like, they kind of said, this is what it's going to be happening. We're getting these movies. Now they're taking a step back. I think that's a good thing. But the reason that we're only getting one is because of The Flash. Did we talk about The Flash?
The Flash film has been pushed back to 2020.
What a segue there.
So they say...
I'm okay with this. I think if you want your Flash film, turn on TV.
Poor Ezra Miller.
Well, and don't forget, we're going to see him in Justice League. So, I mean...
kind of Ray Fisher. I mean,
yeah. See him in that, and then so now there's no. It doesn't mention this Chris McKay new Nightwing movie kind of situation.
No, I think maybe because that was so new.
Yeah.
Because I'm wondering do you think in the Nightwing movie they'll do any kind of like sort of Titans-y thing with like maybe a cyborg
maybe
and
buddies?
A Flash? Because even though this is a Barry Allen Flash,
he's
a youngish Flash.
Yeah. Depends on who you like in Justice League. I really think, honestly, if you like a character, if you go see Justice League and there's somebody you want to see more of, you got to go buy the toys. You got to spend money on that particular person because if Cyborg doesn't do well, then people aren't going to ask for more Cyborg. And same with all the rest of the characters, I think so.
Yeah, it's I'm yeah.
They're gonna pin them up against each other.
We're gonna get a better look at Cyborg probably in April when we get this new trailer in front of. And this is probably gonna be the.
All know he's in shape. We know that much.
He's the odd man out for me in this group. He's the odd man, Ray Fisher. Just because we don't know anything about him.
Yeah, we don't.
But they obviously was enough to see some performance of him because he's a theater actor that go, we're going to put this guy in there.
You want to talk about being in good shape? That's Jason Momoa and Aquaman. And Zack Snyder revealed how they created that scene that
was released.
That 6-second scene.
Now, so this is cool because last week we showed you guys.
But let me ask you your opinions because I got into this with a few people on Twitter.
Can we show it again? Steven, do you have the link for the 6 seconds?
I don't have the link.
No,
just the picture right there. Do you think that is a statue?
We talked about it.
I think it's a statue.
We talked about it endlessly and we thought that maybe it was, but people in the comments.
It's Ocean Master.
People in the comments ripped into us about it's it being Ocean a Master. Statue.
Oh, they laughed. Not only did they laugh at us for saying it was Ocean Master, which I only said because of you, they also laughed at us.
Because it was Ocean Master?
Yeah, they were
look at the mask!
It's not Ocean Master!
Look at the mask! It's Ocean Master.
People are calling Swerve no matter what you say.
I don't think they would reveal Ocean Master already.
But we know he's cast.
I know. I'm just saying. I don't think they would show him in a 6-second cell phone clip. I really don't think they would.
I don't think it's a big enough reveal. I don't think people are clamoring to see Ocean Master.
Yeah, right. I agree.
Everybody remember that. It's not actually a cell phone clip that we're seeing. We're seeing a clip that has a cell phone in the shot.
Okay, yes. Anyways, Zack Snyder said, people are wondering whether Jason was CG or not. He's not. Hair and environment were CG, otherwise all Jason. And there's a picture of him on the green
screen.
And
then we see it right there.
And how about the guy in all green?
Yeah, you brought up a good point, Adam, because you said it's kind of like how they're filming Gravity.
Yeah.
Which, when you watch that movie, I was like, how did they film this?
Yeah.
And you see it. So
it was
to
just
me,
lots of points of articulation with this kind of green screen thing.
Yes.
Like, I mean, he moved like a dolphin. He moved
It was
so
fluidly. That was the thing. But, you know, a lot of people also were like, also laughing at us. You know, everybody will laugh at everything. Like, it was obviously all CG. Like, it wasn't.
No.
It was CG painting and CG water and texture, but it was Momoa in there. Yes, CG hair. We know Zack Snyder likes his flowing capes and flowing hair and stuff.
That's the thing with BVS. There were so many scenes where you saw the tracking dots on Batman's suit that you couldn't tell his cape was CGI.
Yeah.
You couldn't tell. I don't know why they did it, because capes usually kind of are latex and can move, but if you can't tell, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, because I think the way, and this is something I think Zack Snyder does really well, those capes have the weight and they move the way you
want. And it's a picture. When you freeze it, you go like, that's a comic book picture right there.
Right. They don't, like, real fabric doesn't necessarily move as well.
No.
You know?
Looks like a you'll appreciate this, a McFarlane cape.
Exactly.
You want that McFarlane
cape. Which just
goes
on forever and it's all. Oh, by the way, did you see that little thing of McFarlane drawing Baby Groot on Facebook Live this week?
Mm. Yeah.
That was so cool, man. People that could draw blow me away.
Yeah, it is wild.
I can't do anything.
It's amazing, but it makes sense because how much could they actually shoot underwater when people are going to be having dialogue scenes underwater?
That to me is like, that's when I talk. I have a friend of mine, one of my best friends, is a huge Aquaman fan. So, and we constantly are like, how are they going to do this movie? Like, what's it going to be? How are they going to talk?
Do you think when they speak underwater, you're going to see their mouth moving?
Oh, here we go. Don't spill on yourself. He's a spitter.
I'm just drenched.
I got your butt.
Go!
And it continues.
Orb! So I think it'll be like that?
A whole chair.
That was not done with CG. Oh, I'm sorry.
Right here, Rocks. Right here.
Adam Gertler is not CGI. That's real.
I'm so sorry about that, Roxy. The movie making process is a difficult one.
I want to say they're just going to talk normal like we're talking, but underwater, because they were born underwater.
Yeah,
so
but maybe they don't move their mouth. Maybe they talk out of their.
I think that's not going to happen.
Maybe they do exactly what
I think their mouths are going to open. They're going to talk. I think they're going to add some reverb to their voice, kind of like
telepathy.
Sound wave. Waves. Like how our voice goes through water and the sound waves kind of talk when they're talking.
But when they're That'll talking, then they'd be sucking up air. Like, do they have gills?
That's what I'm saying. They have to.
Boy.
Moving on, Joe Manganiello spoke this week
Manganiello?
About.
Manganiello?
I can't say it right.
It's okay.
Even writing it, I thought of you as a guy. I'm going to say, is it Manganiello?
It's Manganiello.
Manganiello.
Whatever. Yeah. He's got a great life. Anyway, he talked about the Batman filming. He did say, last year I said May is when we would start.
Yeah.
That was my understanding. It depends. They have big plans for this movie. Whether or not we start exactly on that date or June or whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Here's the thing. Creative process needs to be respected. Everyone involved wants to make an amazing film. Boom. Of course.
Side note
this
about
this. This is my favorite freaking quote.
But there was an update that this was before Matt Reeves was brought on the project.
Right.
Did you see that?
I
heard there was an update in this article. See if you can backtrack it. Chat roll, let me know if I'm right or wrong that this wasn't a super recent quote. Doesn't mean it's not still true, but it was before Matt Reeves. So that's why it's not like it was from a while ago. But
I have a feeling the Batman is the train has left the station, then they're full bore going, like they know what they're doing. They're in a good place with it now. It's just our schedule is all, we don't have a schedule yet for it, but they're like, we know where we're going.
Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, so Matt Reeves is obviously still finishing up War for the Planet of the Apes. He's gonna go into full promotion mode for
poor
that.
Poor guy during his press tour.
Poor fucking guy. I see a lot of Batman.
Come on, is he gonna be all Batman?
You know what? He's going to be in a great place to talk Batman at that time.
Yeah, he will. His film will be done.
I'm not seeing anything about it being before Reeves. I'm on the... So the original interview...
Robert Irvine. Okay, so what's the date of that
March
article?
March 6th.
March 6th.
That was after.
I can't remember where I saw that, but anyway, okay.
Well, to that extent, the Batman, by the time it comes out, who knows, but the question came up about would Warner Brothers agree to R-rated films when you see the success of Deadpool and Logan and stuff like that. Well, The Wrap has a quote this week about that, saying, and I quote, yes, 100% yes, with the right characters.
And I, you know, reading this, I felt stupid for a second, and I a lot of times do, but for a second I was like, wasn't Suicide Squad R-rated? And it was PG-13, but... I mean, BVS was R-rated. They just cut it to PG-13, but they just cut the original film.
But I still don't even see why it was R-rated. Like, there was no blood, there was no nudity.
There was a sexy time scene. That
movie should not have been R-rated.
There was no nip slip, no double lip slip, nothing like that.
If that was rated R, then
why? No single lip slip.
I think we're coming into dangerous territory now with Logan and Deadpool doing so well as R-rated films. You have to understand that only the right character works in an R-rated film.
We've done it not in live action.
So,
yeah.
I saw somebody in the chat room before say Suicide Squad 2 might be interesting.
That deserves an R-rated. Sure.
Justice League Dark, I think, could be an R-rated film.
I always think it's so weird to make a sequel R-rated when the original is not.
If you just go a little hard.
Yeah, but if you could do it not, then do it not. Why would Warner Brothers want to make Suicide... Let me finish my sentence. Why would Warner Brothers want to make Suicide Squad 2 R-rated, which makes it harder for people to see? They wouldn't. It's going to make less money. The one good thing about Suicide Squad for Warner Brothers was the money that it made, so I don't think they'd want to do it.
No guarantee it would make less money.
Roxy, Wolverine, Logan.
Yeah.
PG-13 R-rated.
Yeah, but Suicide Squad already made great money.
Right.
Yeah, so, the Logan PG-13. Films all made money.
Yeah, they all
Logan
made money.
Logan was not successful. They were just not
they
good.
They just finally got to do what they wanted to do.
They were not as not good. What, do they have 50-something? What is
Logan is 10 times better than the first two.
No. I completely agree. What is their rating? It's like 50-something, not like 26. Mm.
But I'm saying maybe they can push it and they won't be handled. Can you imagine an R-rated Joker and Harley with those in that world? With David Ayer or even Mel Gibson doing an R-rated version?
I think it would be cool, but wouldn't they have just done it originally then?
No. Because they're still figuring their stuff out.
But now that they know they can make money at PG-13, why are they going to keep it? Well, like, why are they going to push it?
Because they've shown superhero films can make money. They won't lose.
It just has to fit the story. It has to fit. That's all there is to it.
You can't do... I don't want DC going, we're going to make Green Lantern an R-rated film.
Yeah.
No, it never needs to be an R-rated film.
You might be right.
Listen, DC's number one. You know it's also number one. The number one fresh ingredient recipe delivery service in the country. Do you know what it is? It is Blue Apron, in fact.
He knew.
You guys know Blue Apron. You've heard about it. If you've ever listened to a podcast or got up in the morning or turned on a TV, you've seen Blue Apron everywhere. Why? Because it's successful. Why is it successful? Because it's awesome. Why is it awesome? Because people like to eat. Blue Apron helps you eat great food. How does it do that? You have to cook it. But it makes it easy because they send you the right ingredients. So now, if I'm going to make a chicken piccata for Mikey Christmas over here, I have to go out. I have to get a pack of chicken. They're not going to have just two breasts in the packet. I have to get a 4-pack. Then I have to get a whole head of garlic, not just the 3 cloves that I might need for the recipe. I might need to get X amount of lemons and flour. You think you can get 2 tablespoons of flour? You got to get a bag of flour, pal.
Right.
Okay, so my point is Blue Apron allows you to make these meals for about $10 a person because they're sending you great ingredients and they're maximizing the manpower and the efficiency of how they purchase ingredients. So they send you what you need so there is no waste.
They're portioned out
and it makes it easier to cook because the mise en place, that's fancy chef speak for prep, okay?
The mise en place?
Mise en place is like when you chop your garlic, you put your herbs. When you're cooking, you get everything mised out before you start cooking. You don't turn on the heat until everything's ready to go because then you're like, your focus is split, okay? So cooking together builds strong family bonds. People love to do it.
It's really true.
You want to know what kind of meals you could be getting with Blue Apron recently?
Delicious ones.
How about, I just mentioned chicken piccata. How about salmon piccata? Because Blue Apron is going to twist the piccata with orzo and broccoli. Johnny, what's orzo?
Orzo, it's like a kind of a rice grainy thing.
But it's delicious. But it's pasta.
And it's pasta, yeah.
Okay, pork chops with miso butter and bok choy and marinated apple. That sounds unbelievable.
Miso wants a pork chops.
Yes, miso want a pork chop, Jar Jar. Vegetable chili and baked sweet potatoes with crispy tortilla strips.
Yummy.
So they'll mix in some veggie meals in there too. Spicy shrimp with coconut, cabbage, and rice. Guys, for less than $10 a meal, as I said, Blue Apron will deliver the seasonal recipes. You can choose from a variety of new recipes. You can customize if you want to go all vegetarian, if you want to go no beef. They like it, okay? So check out this week's menu. Get your first three meals free with shipping, okay? Go to blueapron.com/what? Slash what, guys?
DC Movie News.
No, just Movie News.
Just Movie News.
Don't toss it to me. I don't know.
Mikey Christmas. Well, do you have the copy in front of you?
I don't.
That's true.
He's too busy on set right now.
What I will say is that, honestly, this has helped make my life a lot easier. I'm somebody who's running around town very frequently, and I don't like to just keep purchasing meals out and out because it gets expensive and you don't know what you're eating. So I am obsessed with Blue Apron because it comes to my house. I don't have to go to the grocery store. Like you said, I don't have to overspend. I don't have to throw out groceries at the end of the week, and I get to have delicious meals that I know are coming from a good place. It's awesome.
How many times do you cook something and you're like, I want to make that, and you look around and you got one ingredient you don't have?
Yeah.
Oh, damn it.
It's try awesome.
To
make it,
and then you get to keep these recipe cards. And then you can make the dishes again in the future. It's a really
and
great,
you
great
learn.
Service.
Let's say you're single and you want to start dating. Guess what? You're picking up all these skills.
Yes. But now when you do that, as we've said before, if you're going to cook for someone and you're doing Blue Apron, make sure you throw out all the Blue Apron merchandise so that male or female does not know that you just Blue Aproned it. You want to make them think that you just freestyle.
They'll think you're genius. Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
Blue Apron.
Oh yeah, Jason Momoa uses Blue Apron.
We have new Batmobile images, everybody. Let's get them up there.
Ooh, upgrades.
Yep.
Throw it up there. We did.
Throw it out. Watch out, fall out.
Again, people are upset about this.
Why? Because there's guns?
Yes. And I have to say, you're fighting aliens from another dimension.
Yeah,
they
use
need
guns.
The firepower. The Batmobile has had guns on it before.
I think he should use his teeth.
Yeah. Every Batmobile in every film has had guns on it.
Oh, what do you mean? Like Tim Burton's Batmobile? Well, they have machine guns and drop bombs?
Oh, the sweet sounds of Tim Burton. Or Danny Elfman.
This is my favorite all-time soundtrack for anything.
No, it's the animated series. It's the animated series.
Is it?
Yep.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. Shirley Walker.
Is it?
Batman the animated series.
It
is. Shirley Walker.
Mike knows it.
Come on.
Right. Yes, you're right.
Oh, it's so good.
Okay, so with these photos here, I have to say, because people are all upset about this, did people get upset in the greatest comic book movie of all time, we can argue, The Dark Knight, where he is driving his Batpod through a parking garage, blowing cars up, with kids in backseats playing toys, so... Yeah, all he's right, going through that underground parking garage, blowing shit up with those Batpods.
I didn't see
guns.
No kids playing no toys.
They're in the backseat of the car, like, next thing you know, cars exploding around.
Oh, all right, Mike, but here's where you get into trouble a lot of times, I think. Because you tell people they're not allowed to feel a certain way. And they are.
I'm never allowed to tell people you can't feel
but
a certain way.
You said, do people get upset? If they get upset, that is their prerogative. If you don't like this version, if you don't like what they're doing,
Rocks.
That's okay. You can be upset. Now, you can justify why it's there, and it makes total sense to me.
Right.
But if you don't like it, then you don't like it.
But, Rox, what I do is I throw out a counterpoint. I argue and I counterpoint. Because those same people love The Dark Knight and rave that it's the greatest film of all time, which... arguably it is, but in that movie, his car had guns on it. He shot and blew things up with disregard.
You.
So you can't take one and the other.
You can.
I will say this.
But you look ridiculous when you do.
I don't think you look ridiculous. I think you just don't like it.
It's the same thing with Zod, him snapping his neck in Man of Steel, but him crushing his hand and throwing him in a pit, killing him, and Donner Superman.
Guys, can I offer
same
a bit
thing.
Of mediation for the two of you?
Yeah.
I would like to say down the middle... Nobody's seen the movie yet.
Right. We don't know.
Everybody knows that Justice League is going to have a different tone than BVS.
Yep.
Let's accept the fact that Batman is definitely not going to be killing people.
No.
Right? Like he was...
Humans.
Humans. Right? So I think, yes, these are guns are probably not going to be used to blow up like street-level thugs.
And we're probably not going to get Hal Jordan in Justice League, but Armie Hammer is still having a lot of fun with it. A fan tweeted at him, "Are you Hal Jordan or not?" in all capital letters. He responds back with, "Starts sweating, and that was it.
I think it's a perfect response.
Not really news, but
I think he's trolling everyone.
Well, I think it's a perfect response, though, because he doesn't want to say no, because then the attention goes away from him, and he can't say yes, so sweating,
Okay, let's put it out.
To be fair, I'm pretty sure he's just happy that he's no longer being confused with baking soda.
I just want to say that Third Eye Dreamer loves Mikey.
Third Eye Dreamer?
Yeah, Third Eye Dreamer loves Mikey.
Tell him, Mikey. And, Team Mike, I love you, Mikey.
Man, woman, whoever you are, I love you too.
Greg Branscombe says, tell him, Mikey.
What do you guys think?
You get things like tell him Mikey, Team Mikey, and I get things like Team Roxy because her hair is pretty. Like, right. Come on, fans. Like, talk about my brain.
A lot of Roxy looks fine. Why can't we remove her brain from her
head? If you want to talk about how pretty I am, I'll take that compliment all day.
Okay, but let's but also real quick. What do you guys think? Do you think he's
Hal? I think he's Hal.
Do you? Okay, Rox.
No.
No.
John.
No.
I don't either.
Ooh, I can't wait. Ooh, can't wait. You guys have to buy me a pizza.
I didn't know that I didn't think that until I had to answer that quickly.
Chat roll. And look how good you answered it. You were defended.
I want everybody voting right now. Dude, you think he's Hal?
I don't.
We just voted.
No, chat roll. I want other people because, come on, at this point, here's my argument. At this point, it's too much with the trolling.
Do you think so, though?
Yes, I do. I do. And also, he has been cast as Batman. He is one of the few kind of A-list actors.
Who's been cast as
Batman?
He is
not A-list anymore.
All right. I knew you were going to jump on me for that, but he's been in a lot of big films,
right? I think he's A-list.
Okay.
Do you?
Yes.
Regardless, he's at the top echelon. If he's not in the 99th percentile, he's in the 90th of people that get big jobs and get paid a lot for acting in movies?
I think... No, it's okay. Everyone's a bit on their opinion.
I don't think he would take it this far and not be anything.
Really?
Yeah, because my grandma knows who he is, so that's what I think.
But she's like, how does she know him? Like, from what?
Maybe.
Thank you, Scott.
Okay.
I kind of think he's going to be announced as Hal. Like, there was smoke with the fire with the Manganiello. Like, a lot of the casting rumors have proved to be true.
And don't
with
get me
DC.
Wrong. I like him. I like him as an actor.
You just don't think he's going to be cast. Do you think he's going to be Nightwing? Or do you think he's totally not in DC?
I don't think he's in the DC universe. I think...
Wow.
I think he's in the DC universe.
Do you?
Yes, I'm not sure where and I'm not sure how. But I think that... How is he even in this conversation? And how is he hanging out with these people? Is he just their friends? Is he just
guys,
like,
I'm looking up right now to see if Blue Apron has a recipe for crow that Mikey's going to eat. And I don't know if it's in next week's box or not, but we'll see.
We have a poll on the Popcorn Talk Twitter right now for if whether or not you think he's Hal Jordan.
Oh, that's a poll right now. We'll retweet it right now.
And anyways, we're running out of time, which means we have to move on to Roxy.
It's time for Roxy Stoner's TV Time. Come with me, that's right. Roxy Stoner's TV Time. Shooting junk off Rush for Roxy Stoner's TV Time. You were like Ric Flair for a second. They were like, woo!
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 Good reference.
Thanks, buddy. Woo!
First thing Johnny gets excited about.
Wrestling. He's like, wrestling?
My headset just fell off.
A couple things. Number one, yesterday, and I... Are you okay?
Okay. Alex Arrow says that Army is one of the little blue guardians.
I like that one better.
You have been talking about it in the chat. Yes, I saw it yesterday. A 10-second teaser for iZombie dropped. iZombie is coming April 4th. I know that people out there that are DC fans of the CWDC TV shows that aren't Vertigo series, so Supergirl, Flash, Arrow, and Legends, kind of write off iZombie. They think, all right, iZombie, what could it really be? Trust me, it's so good. And in case you don't believe me, I know somebody who's been binging it recently. Steven Lemieux in the booth.
Hey!
iZombie fan now.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it.
It's really, really great. It's coming back April 4th, guys. So check out that 10-second teaser. Also...
The poll is up. I just did it from the DC Movie News account. Poll is up. Army Hammer, Hal Jordan. Will he be?
Are you Yoda?
Yes.
Okay.
Army Hammer, Hal. Will he be there?
That I am.
All right. Another cool piece of information this week. You guys know, in 2 weeks is coming the Supergirl Flash Glee episode is what they're calling it, but it's the musical crossover.
Because they're both from Glee, the two actors.
Well, not the two, the three. Because it's Darren Criss, it's Grant Gustin, and it's Melissa Benoist.
Who is the music man? Music maker.
Darren Criss, yes.
The music man, it's the music
music man in Trevor and River City.
Makes the music taste good. All right, so interesting, they've both been talking out about it, and by both, I mean Darren Criss and Grant Gustin. Grant Gustin says, it's literally a Glee episode, which it made some fans really excited, some fans not so much. Darren Criss says, it is funny that the last time I worked with Grant, he was the bad guy and he was singing at me, and now I'm the bad guy singing at him, and then said, it's just Glee.
This is going to be interesting to see, just because Grant, Barry Allen's never been a singer, so is this going to be one of those, like, he's got powers which kind of like there was one episode of Justice League Action recently where it kind of made them all dance. and it was organic to the story. So I'm very curious if this is going to be organic.
Yeah.
Or if it's just going to be, they just start breaking into song because they're...
Is it going to matter? Like, are the lyrics, do you have to listen? Is it going to matter? Do we need to, or what's going on with the music?
Do you think it's
going
to be the kind of thing where, like, they try to just talk and they're forced into song? And, like, that's they catch themselves some kind of power singing.
And they're like, what are we doing? And we have to go along with
it? And we haven't, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm not exactly sure. What Earth is this taking place on? How do we get the two of them
alternate
together?
Dimension.
So maybe they're on an alternate, and it's a place where everybody sing talks. So they have to, like, sing talk to get... along. I don't know.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah. Any other DC castings that happened this week, let me know in the chat, because I know Adam said there were a couple, but I might have missed
them. Well, the shows are all kind of wrapping up.
Yeah, right? So I don't think... So we didn't have an Arrow this week. Recently, they've
just for
been...
the seasons. Finales are coming
except
out.
That's why you got to get into iZombie and Preacher, you know,
because they continue, they're in summer.
Yeah. So it was interesting this week. We didn't have Arrow, and, you know, a couple... Last week, we didn't have Legends, and before that, maybe, you know, Flash or something. Everybody's been taking kind of weeks off. They're it's all weird. Trying to get in sync. And if you've noticed also, they had their what's that day where you get flowers? Their Valentine's Day episodes like way late, and the Christmas episode kind of late, so I don't know exactly what CW's doing.
It's interesting because they got those four shows. Now, the crossover event that they talked about, like last season's or this season's Invasion, is that for next year? Next fall? Or is it trying to be like the season finale this year? Because I know they're planning the four-part between the big shows,
heard,
but I don't know
heard
if
for
it's
this season.
I think
so
then
I think
maybe they're just thinking ahead for next year. Okay.
Right. But we did get an episode of Supergirl this week. We got some more hashtag Samverse stuff going on. It was cool. There was an awesome Martian Manhunter moment that people had very mixed feelings about whether what he did was right or wrong. Adam, you know what I'm talking about. He pulls a big Johnny Swerve on somebody. And that really got people going. So that was interesting. Any thoughts on Supergirl this week?
Alien abductions, man.
It's very, very relevant to what's going on in our culture.
Yeah, so Greg Berlanti is, I think he's a big advocate for, you know, for minority groups, for the gay LGBT community. And this was, the best kind of sci-fi episodes are allegorical.
That's why Star Trek is Star Trek.
Exactly. So this really took a page from that, and it dealt with immigration.
It's very close to reality. I mean, we've seen footage of people who have lived in this country for 20-plus years getting taken away.
Let me ask you guys this, then. Being Adam and Johnny, what you guys are saying right now, do you find, I get why they do it, and the best Star Trek episodes are those, but because of our current climate is so real for so many people, do you feel it kind of hurts them? Because when they go to watch television, they want an escape. They don't want to be seeing what's in real life.
Yeah.
They're dealing with.
No, I think it's so important.
Okay.
Do a gun awareness episode. I know some people are pissed and some people want to use it as an escape.
And that gun episode was one of the highest rated. So, and got a really good rating.
But I think it's important. And also, a lot of these things are binged and they're binged years later.
Okay.
And
what's also the demographic? I feel like there's a lot of people that might be like 14, 15 years old. And not that they can't
learning,
get that.
But they don't watch the news.
But maybe it's not as in your face as it is for us.
Plus, there's different levels of escape. I mean, if you're watching Supergirl, or you're gonna get violence and conflict and drama, so it's not like a total escape.
Well, for me, I love it because back with Roddenberry, with Kirk and Uhura and all that, like that was even trying to make it was veiled making statements. But we look at it back now and how they were trailblazers. I think that's why these shows, 10, 20 years from now, will be really looked on so well regarded.
I agree. I think that it is. Yeah, it is interesting, though, that what you bring up, and I know some people don't like it. I also think that something that Supergirl is doing recently that I love the show so much, but it's bothering me a bit, is we're spending time pretending like certain members of our cast might die. And it's like, okay, but I know they won't. Like, with Alex this week. I mean, I don't want to give
I thought she was pretty badass with the threat of the bombs, and I thought she was
so
bluffing.
Really?
I did. And then she started to blow shit up.
Yeah, literally clicking that, and all of a sudden I was like, wow, damn, girl. I think they thought she was bluffing, too. But, you know, when you're... I love that moment between the two sisters, but don't keep risking our main characters' lives, because I know what's going to happen at the end of every episode. Flash this week, we had Flash going on. There was I know, Adam, you were very upset about what happened with Iris and Barry.
Yeah, spoilers again. Spoilers, UK, all those people. Again, this is my big thing. Like, when people are written so stupidly... So, like, they had this thing where, like, they noticed, Wally noticed, because he vibed to see the point where Iris dies. Then he notices that there was no wedding ring on her. So he comes out, like an idiot, and says in front of Iris, why don't you tell her why you proposed to her? He proposed early so that the wedding ring would change the past, and so...
Wally blew up that spot so hard.
So hard! I mean, like, first of all, that was crazy rude. Second of all, and then so she gets offended, which I get it, fine, like you were saying, right? But they were in love, and you know what? If you don't want to die, stay engaged. Like, people get married for lesser reasons, like to stay in the country and get a green card. Like, keep the freaking ring on your hand if you think it might mean you won't die, you moron.
I was talking to Roxy a little bit about this. With Flash this season, I feel we've lost the Barry that we fell in love with the show. I think Barry, through choices in the writing, has become not likable to me.
Yeah.
I think he was such a strong guy in the beginning. Even though he wasn't, for a lot of people and for me, physically what Barry looks like, he's just such a good actor, and he was just so likable. And now this Barry is just kind of, we're trying to change everything, and I'm just like...
I love it about him, because I feel like he has such the weight of the world on his shoulders, and we're actually getting to see that. And that's why we put Wally in that position where he was so lighthearted and all these fun things. But now that Wally is being tormented by Savitar, and by Savitar pretending to be different people throughout his life, like his mom, I do kind of feel you like it is missing that fun element that it used to have with the Flash.
And I don't need it to be fun. Like, I love Arrow because it's, you know, it's got a little bit heavier. But do you think we're going to get back ever to that Barry? Or is Barry forever changed?
No, I definitely think we'll get back.
He's definitely in such a leadership role now. Like, there's so many other things going on. He's become more of a leader.
Okay.
Look, the show got more complicated after you introduced alternate Earths and stuff. Well, I know that's from the comics, but
it's always... It layers.
It's a can of worms.
Yes.
You know, like, the first season is so grounded. The best season, in my opinion, like, you know, because you had all the limitations.
You can't just watch one episode this season, and like the first season, you could just pop in for an episode and enjoy it. It's layered,
and everybody's got powers, you know, like, and I did like Savitar doing like the Exorcist routine when he was talking through Drake Malfoy. And he's like, you have all this powers, and you're glorified IT. Cisco IT, which was pretty awesome.
I love that. Thank you in the chat for letting me know that Abracadabra has been cast on The Flash, too, apparently.
David Mazzucchesi.
That was it.
That's Homeboy from Prisoners, right? Is it not?
He's Homeboy from Dark Knight and Ant-Man.
Yeah, yes, and Prisoners.
Oh, he's in Prisoners?
Which I watched.
Is he?
Yes, and he comes in and he steals the freaking clothes, and he's a Looney Tune Moon.
Looney Tune Moon?
There's more to it, and I feel bad now that I said that about him, because he had a hard pass.
And I don't know of the names, guys, but in the chat, they cast, you guys might have talked about last week, in Black Lightning, two other roles, the siblings of the lead character. They've cast his siblings.
Oh, okay.
And I don't remember their names.
Not the daughters.
I think it is.
Hey, guys.
A daughter and a son.
The kids.
I know we
got to
get out of here. Michael Blake in the chat room points out that Adam West, the original TV Batman, is going to be on Powerless as CEO Wayne Industries.
All right, talking about Powerless for a second. I'm so sorry that I doubted it. It's stealing my heart so quick.
Really?
I'm really enjoying Powerless. It's kind of goofy. It's so quick. It's just here and then gone.
You can watch it
real easy. I'm liking it a lot.
I missed it this week, but like I said last week, I like shows that aren't afraid to have setups and punchlines in the dialogue. Because if you're delivering it correctly as an actor, it's going to work.
Yes, I agree. And very quickly before we get out of here, too, guys, I know that a lot of people think that Legends is too goofy. I thought this was the best, weeks of Legends.
Oh, I haven't watched it yet.
It's awesome. We've got dinosaurs that look
cool. Its goofiness works for it. It's goofy.
But it was also real. There was weight to it this week. And they do address more about changing the timeline and what's going on, like, with relationships with Vixen and whatnot. I think it's really, really good. And this week was very strong.
That's cool. And also, what else?
Hatcher, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Terry Hatcher. Yeah, that was another one. She's coming on Supergirl.
We saw her.
Kevin Sorbo. Oh, right, we saw them.
Yeah, we saw him.
Kevin Sorbo looked great.
He did. She looked great, too.
She always looks great.
Yeah, she did. She does. She does. She did.
An update for you guys. The poll has 58% saying yes and 42% saying no.
All right.
Oh, most people is agreeing.
We got the competition going on.
Again, a pizza.
I don't know why we do this.
You have to retweet it. So that's
Powerless, how you guys recommend?
Yes, I definitely recommend, which I'm shocked about.
Let me ask you guys this. Do you feel Powerless is a good palate cleanser? Like, you get so bogged down with CW, here's a little DC spice.
That's exactly little how sherbert, I, Adam, that's exactly right? how I feel.
Adam Sherbert, a little sherbert palate cleanser?
I agree with you. Yes, that's why I like Legends, because it's
you like Legends like that.
Oh, that's what we're talking about, Powerless.
Okay, yes.
But Legends, too, is different.
Yeah, I haven't watched Powerless because I keep forgetting to set the DVR, so I need to go and catch up with all of them.
I really like to watch first Supergirl, then Flash, then Legends, then Arrow in that order when I'm doing DC CW TV.
Okay.
With Powerless, I can watch it any time of day, any day of the week. Like, I just watch it once a week whenever I want.
Roxy has an order for her stories.
I'm going to go cleanse my palate, but we really do have to get out of here. Yeah, we're getting all kinds
of lights. Oh my God, I'm so sorry.
Wait, but not that, not yet.
What?
Remember that when the time that Rip... the biggest spoiler, when Rip hooks up with Gideon, that was so weird!
Awkward.
My headset just fell off.
That was so weird. Okay, that was it.
All right, Gideon is like his real doll?
Are in love and she's really hot. Yeah. It was so weird.
Oh, it's like that movie.
And then she
the
started
Wes
following
Anderson
me on Twitter. I tweeted about it and she started following me.
The voice is a famous actress.
A British chick.
And she's famous.
Not Marina Baccarin anymore. It hasn't been her for a long time.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know that.
Yeah. She was originally?
Yeah,
when Gideon was on The Flash. Oh. It's not her anymore.
Well, let's all put ourselves over. We're at DC Movies SK on Twitter. And Facebook.com/DCMoviesSK. Stephen Lemieux, where can they find you?
You guys can find me on Twitter at ThePopcornTalk as well as at Stephen Lemieux. Watch all our shows. We just covered Swordfish for Action Movie Anatomy, and they're doing Logan and something else this Friday for Anatomy.
That's right. Adam Gertler.
Hey, everybody. Find me at Adam Gertler on Twitter and Instagram. Let's have a good conversation. And hey, tweet Christian Harloff and the Schmozo people. Tell them that you want me to team up with the killer for DC movie news versus Marvel news.
Marvel's going
Schmoda. I will show up for that. I can't compete with you two, but I will at least show up for
Will you like be like a soccer hooligan
Dude,
for us?
I will be the manager. I will be the mouthpiece. I will talk.
Woo! Do you guys want to see this?
Flair on us.
Yeah.
Yes.
I will show up. They just got to make it happen. Look, they've seen the tweets. They've seen the action. It's up to them to make it happen and schedule it. So, Collider, we're looking at you, man. Bring us in.
Yep.
Roxy
Stryer, you can find me at Roxy Stryer, also over at Screen Junkies. On Friday at 2 p.m., we'll be doing Flash and Friends. We got a really special guest coming in this week. I'm not going to tell you who it is, but they are coming in, so make sure you watch.
Guys, I'm Mike Kalinowski. Sorry I guys missed you for so long. I love being back here. You can find me at Mike Kalinowski. You can find me here for the AfterBuzz shows. We got MacGyver, but I'm also co-hosting Taken, the new show. Check that show out. It is phenomenal. It's 2 episodes in, so you're not very far behind.
Awesome.
Yeah.
At Jay Quasto, there's a brand new app called Anchor. You can go to your app store and download it. I'm hosting my own show, as is Roxy. It's really fun. Yours is called what?
Take You Higher with Roxy Stryer, and it rhymes. You get
I love it.
You guys got new shows?
Yeah, what? Yeah. I forgot to announce that. Thank
Burying
you.
The leads.
And this music. I love BBS. I love this music.
My show is called Off the Ropes. It's pro wrestling. You can call in. You can get involved. It's super interactive. So download Anchor. Join me on that. Otherwise, I'm in Sacramento next Wednesday, all throughout the entire weekend if you're in Sacramento. And in Orlando, I have a show Wednesday, April 5th.
That's my old stomping ground, Orlando.
I'm going to be out there for WrestleMania. So also, Brea Improv headlining April 26th. Guys, we love you. Thank you so much for watching. Thank you for listening. We're done.
I got to go watch BBS again. This
Oh no.
It's, it doesn't even look like water. It's kind of like...
If I keep waiting to roll credits, will he drown?
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Spitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.